Blog Talk Radio. Music bring back memories? It certainly should. Good evening, Eastern family and friends, and welcome to the Eastern Radio Show and our 41st radio episode coming to you live from Jacksonville, Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida, Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and Grand Junction, Colorado. I'm Margaret Barrs, one of your hosts for tonight's show. Our other hosts are Neil Holland and Bud Hescock in Jacksonville, Jim Hart in West Palm Beach, Steve Thompson in Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and Bill Joseph in Grand Junction, Colorado. And, of course, our producer-engineer is Eric Otero, computer wizard extraordinaire. Now, you may call us tonight at either of our two phone numbers. The first one is area code 213-816-1611 or area code 877-572-1861. You may also send us a message on the chat feature of the webpage you're logged into. Either way, we want to hear from you. Now, each week we try to bring you stories from Eastern's past, from those who participated in its history. Our lines are open right after the program that we have for you tonight. We thought that the week before Halloween, which of course is the scariest night of the year, we would share with you a few good laughs, followed next week by several terrified screams. For tonight's show, we bring you humor from the world of aviation, pilots, flight attendants, mechanics, air traffic control, and hopefully from you, our listeners. Join in at any time with your favorite brief narrative with a humorous climax.
What's on first? Or who's on first?
And what's on second?
What's on second?
The A320 going to Phoenix, Arizona.
Thai 081, I have 1 kilo, Hold Chart Alpha.
Who's a kilo Thai? Who is that? 79, the A320 going to Phoenix, Arizona.
Thai 081, I have 1 kilo, Hold Chart Alpha.
Who's a kilo Thai? Who is that?
Thai 081, heavy.
Cam 8081 heavy, left on Alpha, short of Echo.
Okay, left on Alpha, hold short, that's 081 heavy.
Hey, Ground Delta 929, we're on Bravo, short of Victor, and we just had that little corporate jet pull in front of us, and then another 7-5, and thought we were supposed to follow JetBlue, sir.
You were. What happened?
Well, the corporate jet came off the runway, and we had to stop.
808 Bravo Lima, you didn't follow it? 808 Bravo Lima?
808 Bravo Lima, you told us to follow the Embraer, and that's what we did.
You follow the Embraer? JetBlue 1069? Somebody didn't do something right. JetBlue 1069.
Yeah, we were sitting there waiting for the Delta to move, and then Delta said he was waiting for the corporate. So we continued on, and then corporate followed us, and then Delta was going to follow corporate.
You can't just do... All right. See, this takes so much energy, guys. All right. Delta 929. Hang on a second, guys.
Okay. We're Bravo, short of Victor.
Yeah, right. Who's Bravo, short of Victor?
Delta 929, sir.
You didn't even move yet, then. What? We went out of sequence here. JetBlue 1069, you're behind a company
8320? And then we got to stop.
Hang on a second. JetBlue 1069, you're behind a company 8320?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how that happened. Just follow him. Hey, Bravo Lima, you're behind the JetBlue, so everybody did right. Delta 929, just follow the Hawker.
Okay. Well, the Hawker's two planes in front of us.
Great. Delta 1869, you're behind the Hawker?
Correct.
JetBlue 1069, you got to just do what I ask, sir. Delta 929, follow the 75.
We can do that. 975, Delta 925.
Delta 1867, this probably screws you up, too. Where are you right now?
Yes, sir. We're number two on Bravo, short of Victor.
You're on Bravo. Delta 929, you were on Bravo, short of Victor.
That's affirmative, sir.
You know, I'm all screwed up. Jesus, JetBlue.
Follow 757 right on front and advise you unable to take taxiway Charlie Airbus 340-600.
You're unable to do everything, sir, that plane of yours, sir. Let me see. Yep, you can't go on Charlie. How nice. Go right on. Give way to the Delta jet off your right, sir. Okay, actually, it looks like he's clear. So, right on. So right on Victor, right on 13 left, and hold short of Zulu Echo, Iberia, okay?
Okay, right Victor, 13 left, hold short Zulu Echo, Iberia, 6252 heavy.
JetBlue 707, please don't follow Iberia. Just let him go left to right past you and then go down uniform and follow the line.
JetBlue 707, Wilco, sir.
Thank you. American 1639, you're on Bravo, short of Victor.
Affirmative.
Okay, JetBlue 8320 off your right is going to go. You follow him.
Follow JetBlue. American 1639.
Singapore 25 heavy, echo to Bravo, short of Victor.
Echo to Bravo, short of Victor.
Evergreen.
Roger, Evergreen 645 heavy.
Yeah, and call me when you're at Victor. I got to weed you into that alleyway somehow. Hey, DHL, you're blocking whiskey, aren't you?
Well, the 152 heavy is blocking whiskey over here, and we're okay with the tower and roof clearance.
Yeah, I know. Evergreen, 645. Whiskey's currently blocked, but Charlie Echo's available. So just so you know, my plan of action is to bring you into Charlie Echo, okay?
Copy, Evergreen, 645 heavy.
All right, let's just make sure. Hopefully that's where you're really going to be going.
0025 heavy, hotel short of Alpha.
JetBlue 707, I'm sorry, sir. Where'd you say you were?
And sir, we're holding short of Echo, sir.
Short of Echo on where?
At Alpha, sir.
JetBlue 707, you're on. Oh, you're the guy who came out of there. Okay, JetBlue 707, give way to your company off your right, then Echo to Bravo, short of Victor.
Echo, Bravo, short of Victor, and we'll get ready to company JetBlue 707.
JetBlue 176, if you can't get in, let me know.
Roger, we'll check.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, yes, from 208. The hotel short of Alpha.
Hotel short of Alpha was who?
Request for check.
Air France 011 heavy, where are you?
10-1-0-10.
You coming out or you going in?
Coming out, Air France 101 heavy.
Ground, good day.
Ground, hold short at Victor on Bravo.
Is that Air France 7 heavy?
Air France 011 heavy, ready to push.
Air France 011 heavy. If you want to push in the alleyway, that's call your ramp for that.
Okay, call the ramp. 1-1 heavy.
Ground United 8. Is there Canada going to get off of whiskey or do you want us to go on Alpha?
Hey, those two JetBlues, can you guys get by Iberia or not yet? JetBlue 35. What's the problem?
Who do you want to follow?
You're on Bravo, you're short of Victor Alpha, you're beam the Iberian.
We're beam Alitalia on the left there.
Beam Alitalia. All right, just hang on. JetBlue 179?
Yes, sir, we're number two holding short of Victor Alpha on Bravo.
Hey, who's the first JetBlue on Bravo short of Victor Alpha?
35.
You're an outbound?
Yep.
Hey, you guys should come up here one day. JetBlue 35, I need you to pull it right up there and hold short of Victor for me.
You must be about somebody behind us. We're right at Victor, 35.
Okay, you're at Victor. JetBlue 179, you're a beam the Alitalia?
JetBlue 144, Iberia, short of Victor Alpha.
All right, JetBlue 179, somebody stepped on you. You're the first one there, beam Iberia?
No, sir, we're number two.
Who's the first one?
The first one is JetBlue 144. We're being Iberia, short of Victor Alpha.
JetBlue 144, you an inbound or an outbound?
Inbound and whiskey.
I told you to go where you are?
Exactly.
I did. Okay, so, well, go down to Victor. You guys should come up here one day. You'd enjoy it. You'd enjoy the show. Go straight ahead and hold short of Victor. I can't do anything else with you. And what's your numbers again?
It's JetBlue 144. We totally understand. You did a pest you can. We'll go up short of Victor now, JetBlue 144.
Yeah, I'm going to move your company in the second in front of you. Once he clears, come up 13 left and hold short of whiskey.
144, Roger.
Yeah, come up 13 left and hold short of whiskey, right?
Okay, I understand. JetBlue 144. Behind company, we'll go on 13 left short of whiskey.
Yeah, back on the runway short of whiskey. Alitalia 611 Heavy, make a left turn on a uniform and go around the horn. Follow the leader.
Roger, Alitalia 611, left on uniform, runway turn.
JetBlue 35, follow Alitalia.
Well, that's a sample of air traffic control. Let's see if we have some more air traffic control humor. Bud?
Well, let's something on the lighter side of air traffic control. Atlanta Tower, this ground service vehicle, Electric One. We need to check equipment on the ILS shack, runway 27 left. Request clearance to cross runway at Yankee.
Electric One, Atlanta Tower, hold.
Now, after a few seconds of holding, Tower, Electric One, request clearance, cross runway at Yankee.
Electric One, this is a tower, hold.
A few seconds later, the same call again. Tower, Electric One, request clearance to cross runway at Yankee.
Electric One, if you look to your right, you will see an Air France 747 about to land. If you've got the kahunas, you've got permission. Electric One?
We're holding.
In 1978, I was a trainee air traffic controller under supervision at College Station, Texas, and was training in Easterwood Tower. This is a true story of a radio discussion one afternoon. Hello?
Please say again.
What?
Who is this?
This is Joe.
Well, this is Easterwood Tower. Where are you?
I'm in the plane.
So I look down the flight line, checking if someone was sitting in a parked plane playing with the radio. I didn't see anything, and the senior controller is becoming more interested in my handling of the situation. Joe, where is the pilot?
He got out when the engine quit.
I could only imagine a bizarre scenario in which the pilot had jumped from the plane. Joe, what does your airspeed indicator read?
It says zero.
So the plane is now in a stall, I thought. Joe, whatever you have in front of you, a stick or a steering wheel, push it forward. You need to get airspeed over the wings.
Are you sure?
Yes, Joe. You need to push it forward. What does your airspeed indicator read now?
It's still zero.
I thought, oh, my God, Joe's plane is a falling leaf spin. I couldn't help him. He's going to die. I did not know what to do, and I looked to the senior controller, and he said, ask him where his plane is. I said, Joe, where's your plane?
We were parked down at the end of the runway. The pilot got out when the engine quit and walked back to the hangar.
Joe, get off the radio.
Now we have a little humor from the TSA humor. Jim, are you with us? Jim? Jim Hart is one of our hosts tonight. I believe, Jim, I think you're with us. Okay. Let me, Bill, would you talk to us about TSA?
Bill? I'd be glad to. I tend to have rather funny things happen to me when I travel. Perhaps it's because I travel for fun, usually. I don't mind much, except standing in line at immigration in a place like Lima, Peru. In Lima, at least three jumbos arrive within a half hour of each other at night, about midnight. The immigration post has a dozen or so stations, of which two or three are manned. The line snakes back outside of the immigration room into the adjoining hallway, where people crush and elbow their way towards the official lines, only to stand there for another hour. But on to something humorous. I had just arrived from Panama in Atlanta. I had to catch a plane to Los Angeles. Therefore, I had to pass through the TSA security post to get into the domestic side of the airport. I'd been living on an island for over 2 years at the time, and through no effort on my part, I had lost over 20 pounds. This was not a problem, except that all my clothes, especially my Levi's, were too big for me right now. Also, I carry my cash and credit cards, passport, and a travel bag around my neck because it is both uncomfortable and unsightly to wear it over my stomach. I wear it under one arm. This means that in order to take it off, I must remove my shirt. More on that in a moment. When it was my turn at the metal detector, the middle-aged, minimum-waged, and minimum-trained TSA guy told me to remove my belt. Sir, I have lost 20 pounds living in Panama. If I remove my belt, my pants will fall down. Steely-eyed and like a brainless automaton, he repeated, "Remove your belt." So having no alternative other than walking to Los Angeles, I removed my belt. I was now standing in line in front of a lot of business travelers, holding my pants up with one hand. Mr. TSA noticed the travel bag and asked, "What is that?" I replied as nicely as I could, "My passport holder, sir." Perhaps the "sir" came out snidely. Knowing me, it did. "Take it off," he demanded. "Sir," snidely, "to take it off, I must take off my shirt. To take off my shirt, I have to let go of my pants, and I promise you, sir," very snidely, "they will fall down." "Take it off," the man said. I let go of my pants. They fell to my knees. I unbuttoned my Hawaiian shirt and removed it so I could get the passport holder off. I threw the shirt into the plastic bucket with my belt and other items. I had been en route for 9 hours, and I was very worried that my BVDs were in a condition that would shame my mother. Even though she was not there at the time. I pulled up my pants, holding on to them like my pride depended on it, which it did. The TSA man said, "Before I go to the metal detector, hey, put your shirt back on." "Sir, if I let go of my pants, they will fall down again. Don't you think these people behind me have seen enough of my behind?" "Put your shirt back on." "Yes, sir," very snidely. I let my pants drop and slowly slipped into my Aloha shirt and buttoned it. I turned to watch the business travelers behind me. Half were harried because I was their worst nightmare, that being someone who cost them time, and the other half were smiling or laughing. I gave them all a big smile and said, "Hey, at least we're safe here in the TSA line." Here's something that was related to me by a colleague. One's of those friend of a friend type stories, but he swears it to be true. I don't know what airport this happened at. TSA screener, "Ma'am, I need you to remove your jacket." The passenger, "Secondary screening, please." The TSA screener, "It really would be easier if you would remove your jacket." The passenger, "All due respect, I take off this jacket and I'm standing here in front of you with nothing on but a push-up bra. So unless you have some good dance music and a wad of ones, I'll take the secondary screening. Go on through." TSA stories are good, but in addition to that, I think ticketing and reservations offers some of the best.
You've had some experiences there, haven't you?
Here's a couple we've come into contact with. I had someone ask for an aisle seat so that his or her hair wouldn't get messed up by being near the window. A client called in inquiring about a package to Hawaii. After going over all the cost info, she asked, "Would it be cheaper to fly to California and then take the train to Hawaii?"
Yeah.
I got a call from a woman who wanted to go to Cape Town. I started to explain the length of the flight and the passport information when she interrupted me with, "I'm not trying to make you look stupid, but Cape Town is in Massachusetts." Without trying to make her look like the stupid one, I calmly explained, "Cape Cod is in Massachusetts, Cape Town is in Africa." Her response? Click. A man called furious about a Florida package we did. I asked what was wrong with the vacation in Orlando. He said he was expecting an ocean view room. I tried to explain that it is not possible since Orlando is in the middle of the state. He replied, "Don't lie to me. I looked on the map and Florida is a very thin state." I got a call from a man who asked, "Is it possible to see England from Canada?" I said, "No." He said, "But they look so close on the map." Another man called and asked if he could rent a car in Dallas. When I pulled up the reservation, I noticed he had a one-hour layover in Dallas. When I asked him why he wanted to rent a car, he said, "I heard Dallas was a big airport, and I need a car to drive between the gates to save time." A nice lady just called. She needed to know how it was possible that her flight from Detroit left at 8:20 a.m. and got into Chicago at 8:33 a.m. I tried to explain that Michigan was an hour ahead of Illinois, but she could not understand the concept of time zones. Finally, I told her the plane went very fast, and she bought that. A woman called and asked, "Do airlines put your physical description on your bag so they know whose luggage belongs to who?" I said, "No. Why do you ask?" She replied, "Well, when I checked in with the airline, they put a tag on my luggage that said FAT, and I'm overweight. Is there any connection?" After putting her on hold for a minute while I looked into it, I was actually laughing, I came back and explained the city code for Fresno is FAT and that the airline was just putting a destination tag on her luggage. I just got off the phone with a man who asked, "How do I know which plane to get on?" I asked him what exactly he meant, which he replied, "I was told my flight number is 823, but none of these darn planes have numbers on them." A woman called and said, "I need to fly to Pepsi-Cola on one of those computer planes." I asked if she meant to fly to Pensacola on a commuter plane. She said, "Yeah, whatever." A businessman called and had a question about the documents he needed to fly to China. After a lengthy discussion about passports, I reminded him he needed a visa. "Oh, no, I don't. I've been to China many times and never had to have one of those." I double-checked, and sure enough, his stay required a visa. When I told him that, he said, "Look, I've been to China four times, and every time they've accepted my American Express." A woman called to make reservations. "I want to go from Chicago to Hippopotamus, New York." The agent was at a loss for words. Finally, the agent said, "Are you sure that's the name of the town?" "Yes. What flights do you have?" replied the customer. After some searching, the agent came back with, "I'm sorry, ma'am. I've looked up every airport code in the country and can't find the Hippopotamus anywhere." The customer retorted, "Oh, don't be silly. Everyone knows where it is. Check your map." The agent scoured the map of the state of New York and finally offered, "You don't mean buffalo, do you?" "That's it. I knew it was a big animal."
Great. I'm sure we've got some maintenance jokes.
Yes, we do have. And squawks, or more commonly referred to as write-ups, are problems, listings that pilots generally leave in a logbook for maintenance crews to fix before the next flight. And here are some squawks submitted by pilots and the replies from the maintenance crews. Problem: left inside main tire almost needs replacement. Solution: almost replaced left inside main tire. Problem, test flight okay, except Autoland very rough. And the maintenance solution write-up response was Autoland not installed on this airplane. Problem, number two propeller seeping prop fluid. Solution, number two propeller seepage normal. 1, 3, and 4 propellers lack normal seepage. Problem, something loose in the cockpit. Solution, something tightened in the cockpit. Problem, evidence of leak on right main landing gear. Solution, evidence removed. Problem, DME volume unbelievably loud. Solution, volume set to a more believable level. And here's a good one. Dead bugs on the windshield. Solution, live bugs on order. The problem was autopilot in altitude hold mode produces a 200 foot per minute descent. Solution, can't reproduce the problem on the ground. And the problem, the IFF, which is the identification friend or foe button, is inoperative. And the solution was IFF always inoperative in the off mode. And the problem, friction locks cause throttle levers to stick. And the solution was, that's what they're there for. And the problem is number three engine is missing. And the solution was engine found on right wing after a brief search. And the problem, the aircraft handles funny. Aircraft warned to straighten up and fly right and be serious. Problem is target radar hums. Solution was reprogrammed target radar with the lyrics. And the target radar hums, and let's see, there were some more here. Yeah, a mouse in the cockpit is the problem. Solution was cat installed. And another problem was noise coming from under the instrument panel. Sounds like a midget pounding on something with a hammer. Solution was took the hammer away from the midget. And the problem is crack in first officer's main window. And the solution was no crack found nor any other controlled substance.
That's my best. That's my favorite. That's
a good one.
Bud, you've got some pilot humor.
Right. During a commercial airline flight, a Navy pilot was seated next to a young mother with babe in arms. When the baby began crying during the descent for landing, the mother began nursing the infant as discreetly as possible. The pilot pretended not to notice, and upon debarking, he gallantly offered his assistance to help with the various baby-related paraphernalia. When the young mother expressed her gratitude, the pilot responded, "Gosh, that's a good-looking baby, and he sure was hungry." Somewhat embarrassed, the mother explained that her pediatrician said nursing would help alleviate the pressure in the baby's ears. The Navy pilot sadly shook his head and in true pilot fashion exclaimed, "Damn, in all these years I've been chewing gum."
Number two is, though I fly through the valley of death, I shall fear no evil, for I'm at 80,000 feet and climbing. And that was a sign over the entrance to the old SR-71 operating base in Kaneda, Japan.
That's true.
You've never been lost until you've been lost at Mach 3, and that was Paul F. Creekmore, test pilot. And here's one that we've all heard, is the only time you can have too much fuel is when you're on fire.
So true. Yeah, so true.
And here's a Blue Water Navy truism, is that there are more planes in the ocean than submarines in the sky. And that came from an old carrier sailor.
That's good.
And if the wings are traveling faster than the fuselage, it's probably a helicopter and therefore unsafe.
True.
When one engine fails on a two-engine airplane, you always have enough power left to get you to the scene of the crash. What is the similarity between air traffic controllers and pilots? Well, if a pilot screws up, the pilot dies. If ATC screws up, the pilot dies. And never trade luck for skill. The three most common expressions or famous last words in aviation are, why is it doing that? And where are we? And here's one, oh shit. Weather forecasts are horoscopes with numbers. And here's a good one. Progress in airline flying. Now a flight attendant can get a pilot pregnant. Airspeed, altitude, and brains. Two are always needed to successfully complete the pilot, the flight rather. A smooth landing is mostly luck. Two in a row is all luck. Three in a row is prevarication. And here's a good one. I remember when sex was safe and flying was dangerous. Mankind has a perfect record in aviation. We never left one up there. And flashlights are tubular metal containers kept in a flight bag for the purpose of storing dead batteries. Flying the airplane is more important than radioing your plight to a person on the ground incapable of understanding or doing anything about it.
That's true.
When a flight is proceeding incredibly well, something was forgotten. Just remember, if you crash because of the weather, your funeral will be held on a sunny day. Advice given to RAF pilots during World War II. When a prang or crash seems inevitable, endeavor to strike the softest, cheapest object in the vicinity as slow and gently as possible. Here's a truism. A Piper Cub is the safest airplane in the world. It can just barely kill you. And this is attributed to Max Stanley, a Northrop test pilot. A pilot who doesn't have any fear probably isn't flying his airplane to its maximum. And that was John McBride, an astronaut. If you're faced with a forced landing, fly the thing as far into the crash as possible. Bob Hoover, a well-known, renowned aerobatic and test pilot. If an airplane is still in one piece, don't cheat on it. Ride the bastard down. And that was Ernest Gann, who we all know. Never fly in the same cockpit with someone braver than you. There is no reason to fly through a thunderstorm in peacetime. And that was a sign over a squadron ops desk at Davis Mothan Air Force Base in Arizona in 1970. The three best things in life are a good landing, a good orgasm, and a good bowel movement. The night carrier landing is one of the few opportunities in life where you can experience all three at the same time. If something hasn't broken on your helicopter, it's about to. Basic flying rules. Try to stay in the middle of the air. Don't go near the edges of it. The edges of the air can be recognized by the appearances of ground, buildings, sea, trees, and interstellar space. It's much more difficult to fly there. You know that your landing gear is up and locked when it takes full power to taxi to the terminal. Neil, I bet you have some more for us.
Well, I've got one from Louisiana, and it's about old Pierre and Boudreaux. Pierre Boudreaux was flying Cajun Airlines to the Mardi Gras. Boudreaux was flying the plane. and Pierre was in the back fooling with the cargo equipment and stuff. The plane hit some turbulence and started bouncing around, and Boudreau got knocked unconscious. Then the plane started drifting. Pierre, he come running up to the front, and Boudreau was sprawled out all over the steering wheel. Well, Pierre, he don't know nothing about flying as he start to get a little panicky. He grabbed a microphone and he holler, "Mayday, mayday, mayday, this is Cajun Airline 90210. Boudreau, him knock unconscious, and I don't know nothing about flying this plane." "This is the control tower," someone answered. "Don't you worry about nothing. We're going to explain how you to land a plane step by step. I guarantee. Just leave anything to us. Just how high you are, and what's your position?" Pierre thought a minute, then say, "I'm 5'10", and I'm all day. They want way back in the front of the plane." "No, no," answered the tower. "What you altitude and where you location?" "I needs to know where your location," Pierre say. "Man, right now I got a po attitude and I'm from Thibodaux, Louisiana." "No, no, no," came an exasperated voice. "I needs to know how many feet you off the ground and how you plane in relation to the airport." Pierre, he start to panic by this time. He say, "Counting Boudreau's feet and mine together, we got 4 feet off the ground, and I don't believe this plane related to your airport." A long pause. The silence was deafening. "Pierre, we needs to know who you next of kin." Margaret, how about some flight attendant funny stories?
Well, we have some helpful hints for those of you who want to be a flight attendant. So here's the first thing you need to do. Go to a resale store, find an old navy blue suit that an Army sergeant might have worn. Add a white shirt and a tie. Wear the same outfit for 4 consecutive days, every week, all year long. Number 2, go to an airport and watch airplanes take off for several hours. Pretend you're standing by for them and they're full. Go home. Return to the airport the next day and do the same thing again. Number 3, fill several large boxes with rocks. Lift them over your head and place them on the top shelf of a closet. Slam the door shut until the boxes fit. Do this until you feel a disc slip in your back, but smile. Number 4, turn on a radio. Be sure to set it between stations so there's plenty of static. Turn on the vacuum cleaner and the garbage disposal. Run them all night and smile. Number 5, remove the covers from several TV entrees. Place them in a hot oven. Leave the food in the oven until it's completely dried out. Remove the hot tray with your bare hands. Serve to your family. Don't include anything for yourself. Eat peanuts and smile. Number 6, serve your family a beverage 1 hour after they've received their meal. Make them remain in their seats during this time. Ask them to scream at you and complain about the service. Eat peanuts. Smile. Number 7, scrounge uneaten rolls off the plates for you to eat 2 hours later when you're really hungry. Eat peanuts. Smile. Number 8, place a straight back chair in a closet next to a bathroom facing a blank wall. Use a belt to strap yourself in. Eat the stale rolls you saved from your family's meal, preferably while someone's using the bathroom. Smile. Number 9, ask your family to use the bathroom as frequently as possible. Tell them to make splashing water a game and see if you can leave the most disgusting mess. Clean up the bathroom every hour throughout the night. Drink stale coffee in the closet next to the bathroom. Eat peanuts. Smile. Number 10, and this is my favorite, make a narrow aisle between several dining room chairs and randomly scatter your husband's wingtips and loafers along the way. Turn off all the lights and spend the night walking up and down the aisle while banging your shins against the chair legs and tripping over the shoes. Drink several cups of cold stale coffee to keep yourself awake, and don't forget to smile. Number 11, stay up all night. Then wake your family in the morning and serve them a cold, hard, sweet roll. Don't forget to smile and wish them a nice day when they leave for work and school. Ask them to berate you. Eat peanuts. Smile. Number 12, after the family leaves, take a suitcase and go out, preferably in winter, in the yard. Now, if it's not raining, turn on the sprinkler system and stand in the cold and the wet for at least 30 minutes, pretending like you're waiting for the crew bus to pick you up. Then go inside and wait by your bedroom door for another 30 minutes while an imaginary maid cleans and makes up your room. Smile. 13. Change into street clothes and shop for 5 hours. Pick up carry-out food from a local deli. Go back home. Sit on your bed and eat your meal. Don't forget to set your alarm for 3 a.m. so you'll be ready for your wake-up call. Oh, by the way, it's now 12:30 a.m., but eat peanuts and smile. 14. Repeat the above schedule for 4 days in a row, and you'll be ready to work your first trip as a flight attendant. 15. Repeat the above schedule after just 3 days off every week for 12 months straight. Now you are ready to be a flight attendant. Oh, and last but not least, lose your pension and take a 25% pay cut. But don't forget to smile and eat peanuts.
And Margaret, to Steve, one of our listeners has sent us a couple of stories about flight attendants that I think our listeners might enjoy. And it has to do with two blondes were flying. This one is not flight attendants, but anyway, there were two blondes flying from Miami to Miami from Cleveland. 15 minutes into the flight, the captain announced, "One of the engines has failed, and the flight will be an hour longer. But don't worry, we have 3 engines left." And 30 minutes later, the captain announced, "One more engine has failed, and the flight will be 2 hours longer. But don't worry, we have 2 engines left." An hour later, the captain announced, "Well, one more engine has failed, and the flight now will be 3 hours longer. But don't worry, we have 1 engine left." Now, one blonde looked at the other blonde and said, "If we lose one more engine, we'll be up here all day." And here is a flight attendant story about an airline captain was breaking in a very pretty new blonde stewardess. The route they were flying had a layover in another city, so upon their arrival, the captain showed the stewardess the best place for the airline personnel to eat, shop, and stay overnight. So the next morning, as the pilot was preparing the crew for the day's route, he noticed the new stewardess was missing. Now, he knew which room that she was in at the hotel and called her up, wondering what happened to her. She answered the phone, sobbing, and said she couldn't get out of her room. The captain says, "You can't get out of your room? Why not?" So she replied, "There are only 3 doors in here," she cried. "One is the bathroom, one is the closet, and one has a sign on it that says, 'Do not disturb.'"
That's good.
Margaret?
Well, actually, you know, we do have the chat feature on the website, and we just got one of the blonde flight attendant jokes. I think, Steve, they're trying to follow your suit there. And this came from Captain Leon Harper in Lexington, Kentucky. And he said that one of their blonde flight attendants got really excited, and she was telling everyone that she finished a jigsaw puzzle in 6 months, and she was happy because the box said 2 to 4 years.
Hey, Bill, I see you've got some passenger humor, I think.
Well, this comes from the other side of the counter as we speak. Remember, number 1 says, "No flight ever leaves on time unless you are running late and need the delay to make the flight."
Amen.
If you're running late for a flight, it will depart from the farthest gate within the terminal. If you arrive very early for a flight, it will inevitably be delayed. Flights never leave from gate 1 at any terminal in the world. If you work on your flight, you'll experience turbulence as soon as you touch pen to paper or start to drink your coffee. If you're assigned a middle seat, you can determine who has the seats on either side of you while you are still in the boarding area. Just look for the 2 largest passengers.
So true.
Only only passengers seated in window seats ever have to get up to use the lavatory. The crying baby on board your flight is always seated next to you. The best-looking man or woman on the flight is never seated next to you. The less carry-on luggage space available on an aircraft, the more carry-on luggage passengers will bring on board.
Well, actually, we have another individual on the chat feature, and this is the captain of Air Kentucky as well, and he said that he leads out every, you know, when he welcomes the passengers, he always tells them, "We're pleased to have some of the best flight attendants in the industry. Unfortunately, tonight, Lou Ann Wiggins is on this flight."
Oh, golly. Bud, do you have another one?
I got one that says Security Mathers. At Heathrow Airport today, an individual later discovered to be a public school teacher was arrested trying to board a flight while in possession of a compass, a protractor, and a graphical calculator. Authorities believe that he was a member of the notorious algebra movement, and he's being charged with carrying weapons of math instruction.
You know, you guys have been to Kennedy, and Steve and Bud, I'm sure this has come back, and you can remember these guys getting so, out of touch. I mean, just trying to direct that many airplanes coming out of out of an airport the size of Kennedy, and all of them going all over the world, and probably during rush hour when this first little audio clip that we use for tonight's show. But it was kind of humorous. This guy, he really hung in there, the ground controller. What are your thoughts about that, Steve?
Oh, it is so typical. But I think the airport that seemed to me to be the most frustrating was, well, no, it was Kennedy. But LaGuardia ran it a close second.
Yeah, and the airport that really hummed, maybe a symphonic sound, was always IFR weather at O'Hare Airport.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys just did such a brilliant job. I mean, not humorous, but those guys did such a beautiful job that everyone knew their part and when they were to speak. And you didn't say anything because you knew those controllers knew exactly when it was your turn and when you were to speak to them.
Yeah, they'd get upset if you answered them.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
do you recall, speaking of Kennedy, do you recall the El Al and Lufthansa flights that were taxiing out, and El Al was in front, and with the typical accent told the tower, El Al 123 must return to the terminal. We are missing some passengers. And in a voice that was attributed to Lufthansa, they said, came back, says, El Al, did you check your ovens? Ooh. I think I screwed that. I screwed that story up so bad. It was the other way around.
I thought you were going to tell the Fokker story, but that's okay.
There was a situation in LaGuardia one time. I was told of it. The traffic was all backed up. They basically had so many landings they couldn't get the taxiway clear, and the controller was just getting inundated with this arrival of traffic, and there were aircraft were transmitting over each other, and the controller was just was losing it, and he says, "Now everybody stop right where you are. Nobody transmit, just wait. I will call you and then you answer me. Don't anybody move." And all of a sudden the frequency was real quiet. And about 30 seconds later, you hear a voice out of nowhere go, "Hey, ground, Northwest moved."
Oh, God.
Well, again, I'm reading from the chat feature on our website. We have just a little story from Linda from Chicago, and she said that she was a flight attendant on Eastern Airlines, and she said that one of her favorite things to advise the passengers, and she said this at the beginning of every little what do you call it, your little introduction, so to speak, and she would say, yes, please be careful when opening overhead bins. Shift happens.
I got to tell you, this story happened to me. It's a true story, and I'm going to admit how stupid I was. I was a customer service agent while I was acquiring my flight time to become a pilot, and I was pre-boarding a Convair 580. It was one Sunday evening. I'll never forget. We had to assist a blind passenger in her seeing eye dog. Well, the flight was a little bit late, so I ran over. I got her. I picked up all the stuff that she had at her desk or at her seat, and I took her up the airplane, helped her go up the stairs. The dog went up behind. I sat her down, and I put everything in front of her. I put the dog down by her feet, and I said, now on your right-hand side, your purse. On your left hand and left hand in front of you is your dog, and here's your newspaper. And then I looked at her, and I looked at the flight attendant, and I said, does your dog read? That is a true story.
Oh, golly. Well, this is some good humor. I just want to talk a little bit about next week's show before we go off. We've got a really, really good show planned for all of our listeners. And especially those that have grandchildren, you might want to invite and listen to next Monday night's show, because it is Halloween, October 31st, and our flight will take off from Atlanta, headed for San Juan. And we have some unusual experiences along the way. And so we want to have everyone to tune in and listen to this show, because it's really a special show, especially the sound effects, which will not be Bud whistling a suspense tune, but Eric will take and put some really good sound music with our show, and I think we'll have a good time with it. Margaret, I think we've got some members that came on board with us last week that we read last week, and if you would read off the names of those people that joined our little club, that like we did last time.
Okay, yes. Actually, we have 10 new Radio Club members, so welcome aboard. Thank you so much for joining. And they are Lou Bodie.
From Oro Valley, Arizona.
Tom Lynch.
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Fernando Verguno.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Don Lewis.
Crossville, Tennessee.
Marlene.
Or CT?
CLT, Charlotte, probably.
Connecticut.
I know,
sure.
Connecticut.
CT is Connecticut, Connecticut, bud.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Carol Kincaid.
Sanborn, New York.
And Carla Shue Anderson.
Washington, D.C.
And Kim Robinson.
Now that's Charlotte.
There you go.
Thank
there
you.
Go.
When you know a New Englander which grew up in Connecticut.
Yeah, it seems like we're adding members to our club every week, about anywhere from 5 to 10, and we're now up to about 630 club members listening. And I don't know whether they listen every night, but they probably listen a lot on the archive versions of our show. But
I have time to get an anecdote in here?
Would you please put the anecdote in there?
It's not very long. It's a rather short one. It's an experience that I had in New England, in Providence, Rhode Island, when I was made station manager up there at the ripe old age of 26. I was, for years, we operated a flight from Providence to Hartford to Miami by the number 181. And finally, we were able to get a nonstop flight in the schedule from Providence to Miami. And people were having some difficulty actually believing we could fly all the way from Providence to Miami nonstop. And there was a day I was out behind the mammoth six-position ticket counter when a little old lady walked up and beat her umbrella on the top of the counter and said to me, young man, that flight to Miami, is it going to be on time? And I said, yes, ma'am, unless it's late. She said, thank you, and walked away. true experience.
That's amazing.
Unless it's late.
Well, I want to tell you, if you've been to Providence lately, it's 3/4 of a mile between the gate area and the car rental counter, and you have to cross over 3 streets to get it. Mm. And Providence really has changed. I was up here.
And they have a train track that goes right connected to the airport now, too.
Oh, they do? I didn't notice that.
Yes, they do. They have a people mover that will take you from the terminal out to the transportation area where you get rental cars, and you can actually get on a train and go to Boston from there if you choose to do that.
Oh, my golly. Yeah.
Is that the one?
And the FAA has approved the extension of the longest runway there, which is, 1533, I believe, right, in a southerly direction, which they've been proposing for years, which will add another 2,000 feet to that runway, bringing it up to close to 9, I believe. So maybe longer flights are in the future for TF Green Airport.
Gee whiz, with such convenience, Bill, you'll be wanting to leave Colorado and go back to Providence.
No, I was happy to leave Providence when I went to Baltimore, quite frankly.
Were you there in the 70s, mid-70s?
I was there from 68 to 73.
Okay, well, 73, no, that was... Well, maybe, let's see. Okay, no, that wouldn't have been the time that I took a 757, because we got the 757s in 1976 or 78. I think it was 78 when we got our first 757. And that's when I took the Miami Hurricanes on a charter flight from Miami up to Providence when they were playing Boston College. And that year, they won the national championship. I forgot exactly what year it was, but I'll never forget.
Well, you know, even back when I was there, we used to bring the Miami Dolphins up to Providence. The preferred airport was Providence due to the location of the stadium at Foxborough.
Yeah.
They didn't want to go into Boston, you know.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, this particular flight, I had to delay it because I was laying over at the Marriott to originate the flights. And you remember Eastern's attitude toward the Miami Hurricanes, University of Miami. I mean, they would empty out an airplane with full paying first class passengers if it meant that there was only one airplane left, and for the Miami Hurricanes, really? They would. I mean, they really catered to the Miami Hurricanes.
Yeah,
the University of Miami.
I used to fly that 727, Emory's 727 there, because my folks lived just up the street in a town called Walpole, Massachusetts. So we'd have the long layover Saturday morning to Monday night.
Yeah. Well,
so Walpole is known for two things. Your parents live there, and they have a nice prison.
They do. They got a better, yeah. The parents have moved, but the prison stays there.
Well, Margaret, we're running out of time, so...
Well, just a little note here. Be sure to tune in again next Monday at 7 p.m. when Eastern Flight 42 will be taxiing from the gate with a scary Halloween flight that carries the crew into the Bermuda Triangle. Eastern Flight 42 departs Atlanta, Georgia for San Juan, Puerto Rico with 318 passengers, 3 flight crew members, and 7 cabin crew members. Just 25 miles east of Ormond Beach, Florida, the flight enters an area of suspicious reported activities known as the Bermuda Triangle. Aircraft, ships, private boats, and people have been reported as missing in this area over the past several decades. And as they continue their flight towards their San Juan destination, an unusual radio contact is received by the crew. An air traffic controller, not recognized by the crew, gives them a strange clearance that the crew cannot carry out. The final destination is one that will keep you glued to your radio until the very end of this flight that is turning out to be a frightening experience.
That's our show for tonight, folks. We hope you have enjoyed it. So from the Eastern Radio Show and the Eastern family, where all the women are unequaled, All the men are good-looking, and all the children and grandchildren are above average. We'll see.
Good night, Jim, Bill, Neil, Steve, Bud.
Good night, Jim, Bill, Neil, Steve, and Margaret.
Good night, Jim, Margaret, Neil, Steve, and Bud.
And good night, Bill, Margaret, Steve, Bud, and Luann, wherever you are.
Good night, you all.
Good night.
Good night, Eastern family.